Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't normally have to shout that loud. There's not normally this many people. How wonderful it is to see the church as full as this morning. And we have the main person here. Now he's arrived, we can start, which is wonderful. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome if you're a regular here. And a special welcome if you're not, and this is your first time joining us to be in God's presence. We welcome you. I hope that you will feel welcome. I hope that you will feel part of the family, because that is what we all are, is part of God's family. So you are most welcome here. I pray that God will touch you, that he will bless you while you're here in our presence and his presence, and that you will go out thinking, do you know what, I wouldn't mind going there again and worshipping with them again. Because that's what we desire, is for everybody to come and join and feel at home. I'm going to quickly just open in prayer. I'm going to welcome God, although God's already here. We don't need to welcome him because he's with us all the time. So I will say a prayer and then I will shut up and hand you over to Natalie. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for being in your presence this morning. I would welcome you here, Lord, if I didn't know already that you weren't already here. Father, I thank you for your presence. I pray that each and every one of us will be touched by your Holy Spirit today. That, Lord, whatever goes on in this building today will glorify and magnify your precious name. Jesus, be exalted in this place today. Help us to worship in spirit and in truth today. Be with us in everything. For your glory alone, Father. Amen. And I'll hand over to Natalie, who is going to lead us.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to see everyone here. Guys, if you've got children and they're being noisy, it's going to get a lot louder. So just let them be noisy. We really don't mind, honestly. Except if Saint screams, and then we've got a problem with it. So thank you so much for being here. It is wonderful to see you. I just want to read a scripture, if I can, before we start. It's in Psalm, and I just want to read it because I just thought it was so apt for today, and I'm sure we probably will hear it again. In Psalm 127, verse 3, you all know it. I'm reading it in the New Living Translation. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. John Michael, Buster's got two warriors on you. So catch up. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them, and a woman whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the gates. And today I'm so glad that we have more than one children, young and old, with us today. Father, we thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you, because we want to see you high and lifted up. Father, we want to see you high and lifted up in these children, all of the children here. Father, we want to see you high and lifted up in our lives, in our sphere of influence. We want to see you high and lifted up in this earth. We want to see you high and lifted up in our families. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We say you are holy, holy, holy Lord.
A really powerful song, you are for us, not against us. And it's great to know that Father God is for us, not against us. I found it interesting, John Michael and Whitney, that Natalie should read that passage from Psalms where it talks about happy is the man and woman whose quiver is full of them regarding children. Just to let you know that a quiver consists of seven. And so bear that in mind. I don't know whether that's what Natalie has in mind when she read that verse to you. But there you go. Just a few more to go yet. But it's a real privilege for me to be able to share in this dedication service. And the couple have asked for two speakers, so we are both going to, I and Dean, bring a short message each. I'm going to do one just before the dedication, and then Dean is going to share a short talk afterwards. And when I was thinking about what to share, what I felt God wanted to say to you guys, I was taken to Psalm 139. It's another amazing psalm. If you get a chance to read it, do read all of it, because it speaks about how important we are to God. But I just want to bring out some thoughts based on four verses. This is what it says. And as you think about this, think about Saint. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Amen. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me.
I want to talk about the Creator Craftsman and to bring to you just four thoughts about the Creator Craftsman. I love watching craftsmen at work. I've been to a glass blowing factory. I don't know if you've ever been to a glass blowing factory, but it just seems amazing to me that these craftsmen are able to take hold of this molten liquid and then they're able to create these amazing glass shapes and these beautiful bowls from them. Maureen has a cello, like many of the church family know, and a few weeks ago she dropped something on it. I'm glad it was her and not me. The result was it was damaged. She took it to a craftsman, and there was part of it which had been shattered into all sorts of tiny little pieces. This craftsman put them all together, put them back into place, and you would not now be able to see where the broke occurred. You see, God is the great craftsman when it comes to you and me and to our lives. And what this Bible verse tells us is, first of all, that God is someone who perceives us. What you know, he sees you. Here we're told that he sees everything about us. Now, sometimes we think that, oh dear, I wish there were parts of me that he didn't see. I wish there were parts of me that were hidden from him. I wish there were parts of me he didn't know about. But the fact is, he knows about every area of our lives, the good stuff and the bad stuff. But the wonderful thing about it is that that does not cause him to be put off from us. In fact, the Bible says he is committed to us. So although he sees all that there is to see about you, he is there for you, not against you, as we have just listened in that song. I'm so glad that God sees me. And as he sees me, he sees what's going on in my life. It means that when I'm in a good place, then he rejoices with me in that. But when I'm in a hard and difficult place, he still sees me. He still understands. And he is there for me. And then secondly, not only does the Bible tell us that he sees us, but he says he has plans for us. I'm so glad he had plans for my life when I was first born. When I was first born, I was premature. I am told, I still carry the scars, I am told that my mum took me out in the pram and someone stopped, says, oh, you've got a new baby. And she said, yes, can I see him? And she said, yes. And this person, apparently, I'm told, looked in the pram and said, what an ugly looking baby that is. It's okay, I've graciously received healing from being told of that. Apparently the midwife told her that I've never lived long enough to see old age. So I really have had some quite deep-rooted things spoken into my life. But I'm so glad that God had plans for me. God had plans for me. And because God had plans for me, here I am, now almost 60 years of age. And yet still going strong. I want to say to you, God's got plans for you.
That's right.
Whatever age you are, God's plans for you. The issue is not what plans he has for you. The issue is whether you want to fit in with those plans.
That's right.
Because he has given you the choice. You can either go your way or you can go his way. You can either do your thing or you can do his thing. He's got plans for you. And he's got plans for saints.
Yeah.
Plans that are there to bless him, prosper him, watch over him, keep him. Because the next thing we're told is that we are precious to him. I'm so glad that he thinks about me. See, when I married my wife Maureen, we've been married over 50 years now, she's still precious to me. So in the morning, I wake up
And I think, oh, where's Precious?
And she arrives with my cup of tea. Oh, how precious she is. When I go to bed, she's already gone to bed, she's asleep. Oh, there's Precious.
See, we're precious to God. And he thinks about us. I find it amazing that God has enough time to think about me.
Yes.
But that's what the Bible tells me.
Yes.
And because he's God, it means he has the ability to not only think about me, but to think about every one of you.
Right.
When Jordan was involved in that serious crash, God was thinking about her
that's
at that
right.
moment.
Yeah.
And God was there with her in that moment.
Right.
And sometimes we know why we're allowed to go through this difficult and hard stuff. But you know what's often in the difficult, hard stuff is that when we discover God's there.
That's right.
That's when we discover that he was there and his thoughts about us are revealed. Finally, it says that he is present with us. In fact, that psalm says, where can I go from your presence? Wherever I go, your presence is there. And as we come to dedicate Saint to the Lord, I want you to know that God's presence is with him. And God's presence will continue to remain with him. But with Nick Whitney and John Michael and with each and every one of you, the presence of God is there. And you can discover his presence and know his presence. You see, we were created to be in his presence. Going right back to the beginning of creation, God created us so that we might have fellowship and be in his presence. That's his longing. That's his desire. And that's what you could discover if you so wish. That is why Jesus came, gave his life, sacrificed himself, because we were separated from the presence of God by the wrong in our lives. But through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus, we can come back into the place where we know and experience his eternal presence. Not just now, but forever.
Amen.
Let's move to the dedication, and there is a PowerPoint field for this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask John Michael and Whitney and the baby to come out along with the support parents, the godparents, all to come out here and gather beside me. There's just a few gathering of surprised people taking place right now. There are some of you that are being invited to join this happy throng. So just while folk are coming out, just to explain, you will see coming up on the screen... What it is that we're up to. And you will see on the screen the wording that we are using. Just to say that when it comes to the promises, we have asked the various people that are involved here with regards to the promises to look at the promises that are being made. And they will confirm the promises that they are able to keep. So there will be some of them that will not say some of the promises because those promises are not ones that they are comfortable with. Because our emphasis is that these promises are not being made to me as one of the church ministers here or to you as a church family. These promises are being made to God. And therefore, they genuinely need to be promises that people feel able to keep. So when it comes to the promises, you guys here, you'll see them come up. If you feel you're able to keep them, then say verbally, I do or I will, whichever one it is that comes up. If you would rather not, then don't say anything. Just be silent to that particular promise. Okay, so Ashendon Eden Church welcomes the family and friends of St. Marie Compton to this dedication service. In this service of dedication, we are to give thanks to God for the maker of all things, the giver of life, for the creation of birth of this child. The parents and congregation are to make a solemn promise in God's presence, confirming that they will seek to guide this child in the right way to live, relying on God's help in their work together. We are to pray that God's blessing may come and rest upon this child, remembering how the Lord Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Families are God's idea. They are the basic building blocks of society. They are crucial to the life of the nation, and they are central to the life of the church. What on earth is a dedication service? Well, it's the commitment of the parents before God asking for his help in the training and instruction of their child. Our example and model to this is the dedication of Jesus at the temple. The Bible tells us that Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And what Jesus said about children is very, very important. He said, "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." So Saint has got an angel that is there looking on the face of the Father. Goes on to say, "In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." We read that parents brought children to Jesus for a blessing. In Mark 14 it says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. What did he see? He saw his disciples trying to prevent parents from bringing their children to him. And he said to them, the disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. Dedication is bringing your children to Jesus and his church. This is Saint Marie Compton, who we now are going to dedicate to the Lord. So this is the promises to be made by the parents. And the first is, do you recognize that you have received your son as a gift from God? In presenting your child saint to the Lord, do you promise before God and with his help to guide your child by example and with instruction in an atmosphere of love and care so that he may become a responsible, caring member of society? Do you now promise to give access to the worship and teaching of the church so that he may come to the knowledge of Jesus as Saviour? Now we come to the support and godparents, and for the, you guys, you respond according to whichever promise you feel able to respond to. Will you acknowledge your responsibility for this child's welfare? Will you endeavour to play your part in supporting the parents of this child, and by your example, will you guide this child so that he will grow up to become a responsible, caring member of society? Will you promise to give access to the worship and teach of the church to the church so that he may come to the knowledge of Jesus as Saviour? That's for the godparents. Okay, we move on. As a caring, this is to the church family here and to everyone else who is willing to respond to this. As a caring, loving, praying church, we also have a responsibility to parents and children so that by our example, teaching and prayers, they may in due course come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, and we become members of his church. As we stand to pray for this child and his parents, let us again acknowledge our responsibility to pray for families and ask God's help that we, as his people, might fulfill this duty for his glory. If you're able to stand in acknowledgement of that promise, please do so. Now I get the privilege of holding the baby. We're going to pray. Saint Marie Compton, we now dedicate you to the Lord in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. May you know his unfailing love.
May his presence be with you, and may you experience the blessing in every area of your life. We pray for good health. We pray for strength. We pray for protection. We pray that you will know his love enfolding you and keeping you, watching over you day by day, and that you will be in that place where you would experience him drawing you ever closer to himself. We pray, Father, for Joe Michael and Whitney, that you will bless them, and that they too will know his love and care. And the Father, that as they continue to seek your wisdom and guidance and direction, you give them that special blessing that you give to parents who are willing to submit to you, that they will know that sense in which day by day they have all that they need in order they might be able to see their child grow and develop and become a man of God, used for your glory in your kingdom. We pray for the wider family, that each and every member of the family would know that sense of love surrounding them. And as your love is poured into their lives, may your love pour out from their lives. Not only for St. Marie, but Lord, we pray too that they will just sense that real awareness that there is a togetherness and oneness found in the knowledge of a faith in a God who cares for us, watches over us, and loves us without reservation. And we pray for every one of us here. Lord, may we experience the reality of your everlasting love, touching our lives, transforming us, so that more and more we might become the reflection of Jesus, so that the world around, with all its disruption and its difficulty and its violence, will be overwhelmed by the love of God that is spread abroad through the people of God. So thank you again for this very special time. Thank you again for what you're going to do as we are dedicated this child into your hands, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Well, that was all right, wasn't it? Part one. Dean's going to come on in a minute, and he's going to take us through about an hour's worth of message. So I hope you've got stamina for it. We're just going to sing God, I Look to You. This is a song that John Michael wanted us to sing. Because I know that this is something they've been talking about, you know, making sure that they raise this little man in the way he should go. So we're just going to sing God, I Look to You. It says, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things as you do. And we pray this for them, that as they go on, that God will give them the vision to see things and to see saints as he sees them. And that God will do the same thing with us, that he will give us the vision and the wisdom to know that he's in control. God, I look to you.
Please take your seats. I'll thank Dave for being the warm-up act and getting you all laughing. I admonish Natalie for suggesting that I was going to preach for an hour. It's going to be more like two. And following on in the vein of Dave, when I was born, I was so ugly, the midwife slapped my mother. And I was 4 weeks premature, yeah. You wouldn't think to look at me now, but I was 2 ounces away from being put in an incubator. Terrible. Made up for it over the years. Anyway, enough about me. We're here this morning for Saint Amari, whose name, his grandmother has told me, means holy and promised by God. Names mean so much, don't they? Names are wonderful. And when we choose a name for our child, we hope that they will live up to the name that they've been given. And by God's grace, is he awake or am I putting him to sleep? I'm not sure which way. Well, he's looked and he's turned away. Okay, that happens. By God's grace, we pray that the names we give to our children will be appropriate, don't we? We're here for a special occasion. We're here for the dedication of this child. Today we are here to acknowledge the gift from God that a life is. And the commitment that his parents and his godparents and we as a church have made to nurture this child in the way of the Lord. Now, in doing so, for us to understand what that means and how we do it, we're going to look at the Bible. To understand God's vision for our lives and our role as stewards, our role as helpers of the young people who are entrusted to us. So the first point is that children are a gift from God. Psalm 127 verse 3 says simply, children are a gift from the Lord, they are a reward from him. The psalmist reminds us that children are not just byproducts of human will. They are gifts from God himself. The Hebrew word translated as gift here is nech'alah, which means more than just a gift. It means an inheritance or a heritage. Children are a heritage. And this word, it carries the connotation of something valuable that's been entrusted to us. Much like an inheritance that can be cared for and passed on. There's an emphasis here that children are not just a temporary blessing. They are a lasting legacy. They are given to us as a precious trust from God. When we understand this verse, it deepens our appreciation of what God does. It underscores the significance of his plan for all of our children, for all of his children. Children, we're meant to nurture them. We're meant to guide them. In Genesis 33:5, when Esau asked Jacob about the entourage of people that followed him, Jacob responded by saying, "These are the children God has graciously given to your servant." Children are a blessing, whether you have one, two, seven or more, depending on what's in the quiver. So if you have seven children, you're going to need a big place to live. So God's going to need to bless you with a large property, or at least a caravan with bunk beds. I mean, yeah. God provides according to our needs, not necessarily our wants. And you can be as happy in a caravan or a shack as you can be in a penthouse suite somewhere in the world, if God is at the centre of your life. Because it's him that gives us true happiness. It's him that gives us true fulfillment. Your child is a gift from God. Imagine a beautifully wrapped gift received as a surprise celebration. When someone gives you a wrapped gift, you handle it with care because you don't know what's inside. You don't know how fragile or robust that gift is going to be. But when you open it, you're filled with joy. And you care for the gift that you've been given. Unless, of course, it's a slow cooker and you've got 15 of them at home already. Then you might think, who can I give this gift to? But the gift you've been given is one for you to keep. One for you to care for. One for you to cherish. We should cherish our children. And we need to approach parenting and mentorship or godparentship with a recognition that God has given us a divine trust. He's calling us to care for the gift that he's brought into our lives. The preacher and author Max Lucado once said, "Children are God's apostles sent forth day by day to preach of love and hope and peace." And I pray that St. Amari will be one who preaches of love, hope and peace. That he will share that message from a young age, maybe in the nursery, maybe in the primary school, maybe, I don't know what your plans are, maybe he's going to go off to university and be an incredible scholar. But wherever he is, he can share the truth. He can share the love of God. And he can speak of the hope that we have in Christ. We have a hope that's more than just, oh, maybe. We have a blessed assurance when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We have a blessed assurance of eternal life with him. When we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, our sins are forgiven and we are saved. And I pray that he will know that for himself. There's a broad impact of parenting. There's a broad impact of responsibility to guide our children correctly, to guide them according to God's will. In a world that's so full of opinions and so full of ideas and so many grey areas, the Bible gives us the truth that we can teach our children so that they may grow strong in him and know what truth really is. Second point, training in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. This proverb, it really talks about the importance of foundational truth in a child's life. Spiritual and moral education about what is right and what is wrong. And the word here, direct, it involves initiation, it involves an action, it involves setting a course. It implies that the parents have an active role in guiding a child's spiritual journey. Listen to the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you are getting up. It's Moses speaking here to the Israelites, and he is reminding them of the need to embed God's word and God's commandments into the lives of their children so that they will constantly think about heavenly things, to constantly think about the things of God, to constantly think about what is right and what is wrong. It's actually wise advice in the world that we live that we teach our children what is right and what is wrong. I mean, if you think about it, it's a bit like planting a tree. We can plant a tree, but the way that we nurture the tree and the way that we support its growth from the beginning will shape how that tree develops. We've got a little bonsai at home, and what you're supposed to do with a bonsai is prune it and shape it. We've kind of just let ours grow as it wants to. And it's a beautiful looking tree, but maybe we should have put a bit more care and attention into it to make sure that the branches were growing straight and that the leaves were right. I mean, we like it, but we could have spent more effort. We are called to be intentional about how we teach our children, how we tell them about God's love, how we guide them through our example and our instruction. All of us have life experiences. All of us have things that we've experienced. And I know from my own children, there are times when I tell them, well, you know, in my experience, I've discovered, and okay, I'm old. I mean, yeah, I'm a grandfather now. I've got four grandchildren. My kids, when they were growing up, would have perhaps thought, oh, no, that's just Dad's opinion. That's just Dad's idea. But if we teach by example, if we say that we love God and our children can see it in us, that's going to mean a lot more than we just saying it. Billy Graham said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to a child and to a grandchild is not money or material things. It's a legacy of character and faith. And I pray that Amari will experience a legacy of faith. I mean, I know what his grandmother's like. Even if you lot don't, she will. Third point, covered by prayer and blessing. Dave mentioned this earlier, Numbers 6, 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. This is a priestly blessing. It conveys the covering over a person's life, the favourable presence of God in a person's life. Each phrase bestows another layer of God's loving intention towards his people, towards his children. Mark 10, verse 16, Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Jesus blessed children. He demonstrated the value of spiritual covering through prayer and through the presence of God. Any of you ever lit a candle? Oh gosh, anyone still awake?
Yes.
Have you ever lit a candle?
Yes.
Have you ever had to put your hand sort of in front of the candle so that the flame stays lit? Right. Wind can blow and extinguish a candle. Our prayers are like a shield of faith. As we pray for Saint Amari, God will surround him with his protection. We as human beings, we as parents, as grandparents, as friends, we will attempt to protect him. But ultimately, his protection comes from God. And we've seen that God can protect in the most difficult of circumstances. God answers prayer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Let's commit to constantly praying for the children. Let's commit to praying God's blessing upon these lives. That God's protection, that God's peace will be with them forever. Charles Spurgeon, he encouraged people, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure that you go that way yourself. It's no point teaching something that you don't believe for yourself. That would be like teaching a lie or teaching a half-truth. In order to teach our children properly, we need to believe what we're telling them. Our living, the way that we live, we need to live by faith. We need to be a living testimony to the children of what faith in God looks like. May each of us examine ourselves and commit to walking in the ways that God has called us, to walking in the plan that God has for us, and to trust him, trust God for everything that we do. As we dedicate this child today, let's embrace the roles that God has assigned to us. Let's be committed to see Saint Amari raised in love, in friendship, and in faith. Let's pray for his parents. Let's pray for the wider family, that God would be in the centre of everything that we do.
Amen.
And that we can know that he is with us, that he loves us, and that he cares for us. So I urge you this morning, as parents, as relatives, as friends, dedicate yourself to modelling your life on Christ so that Saint Amari can see how you live and come into a relationship with Jesus for himself. Cover his life, but cover your own life with prayer too. Trust God. He loves you. He cares for you. Amen.
Amen.
That was less than an hour.
Oh, brilliant. Right. Thank you so much from our family to Dave and Dean for being part of the service today. We really appreciate you very much. I know we're a demanding family. And I didn't say a resounding amen to the fact that, yes, even if they don't want to, I definitely will be leading him down this path. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Father, we thank you for all that we have done today. We commit this day and everyone in it to you. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.